Welcome to PX Pulse. I'm Jean Barron. The drug maker Merck has just announced two new trials, the expressive trials, that will be testing a monthly pill for PrEP. A once-a-month PrEP pill holds great potential for the field. Even with daily pills, a monthly ring, or long-acting injectables like cabotegravir or the just FDA-approved lenacapavir, there's going to be people who can't find what they really need for prevention. So there's a lot to know about these trials, and there's also powerful lessons to learn from good participatory practice, or GPP for short. GPP involves impactful engagement of all stakeholders, especially communities in research. And GPP has been a cornerstone in the process of design and protocol development for the expressive trials, and GPP's role won't stop there. It's going to be crucial in the implementation of the trial and beyond. So to get into all of this, I was able to talk with Merck Principal Scientist Rebecca Plank and AVAX Regional Manager for Research Engagement Grace Kumwende. And it was just as the trials were being announced that we were able to explore some critical questions. Here's our conversation. Rebecca, so let's get some basics. What's this trial testing? Where? Among whom?
The expressive program is going to consist of two large phase three studies. These studies are both going to test the preventive efficacy, or how well MK-8527 works to prevent HIV infections. It's also going to test the safety of MK-85. And as far as among whom, this is going to be a global program. We're actually having study sites in approximately 18 countries around the world. And it's going to enroll approximately a total of 9,000 participants.
And actually, could you tell us what's MK-8527 for those who haven't heard of it before?
MK-8527 is a nucleoside reverse transcriptase translocation inhibitor. And that's a fairly new class of medication. It prevents the replication of HIV in some ways that are unique to this class. Two of the really important attributes of this class is that they're very potent at very low doses, and they have a long half-life of the active form. So that means that you can give a normal sized tablet or even a relatively small tablet, and you only need to give it once a month for prevention.
Rebecca, help us understand, why did Merck see a role for this product?
We have some great options, and a lot of scientific advances have been made that have really benefited people who are impacted by HIV. Now, if you think about what's been out there and what's been recently added to the list of options that people might have with regard to biomedical HIV prevention, we know that there's the daily tablets. And then when it comes to long-acting PrEP, or something that you don't have to use every day, both of those choices are injectables. And until now, when people talk about long-acting preventive modalities for HIV, it's always synonymous with an injection. But we think that there's a space between the daily oral and the long-acting injections for long-acting orals. So we'd like to really expand people's thinking about long-acting prevention and include an oral option. And so not everybody wants to take a daily tablet, and not everybody wants to have an injection. So we think that this offers a good opportunity for people to have something that's long-acting. It doesn't need a needle. It doesn't need a vial, but it can still be very discreet, and people can, it's much easier to store than a bottle of tablets, and it's much easier to deliver, we think, than an injection. So we think it can fill an important space in the HIV prevention area.
That makes total sense. And I also just want to add in here, there's also the dapivirine vaginal ring, and there's not widespread access to this, but that's another long-acting monthly option. Grace, What do we know from communities that can help us all understand why a pill could be an important additional option for many people?
I do want to agree with Rebecca. No single option can actually meet everyone's need. The community has made a call for choice for a good reason, because we do want prevention that fits in people's lifestyle. And to be specific, last year's AVAP, we started shaping the people's research agenda. And as part of that conversation, we listened deeply from the community, including young women, including adolescents. And what we heard from people want products that can be brought to the communities. So it's not talking about just products that work or that work effectively, but products that can be delivered in a more easier way as well. And for me, that's how I look at the monthly bill as well. So it really gives me a lot of excitement to be in this moment. And beyond that, we did hear from young women and adolescent girls to say, we do want products that are discreet. And you can imagine having one pill a month, what that means, how life-changing that could be for a young woman, a young girl, somewhere in rural Tanzania or even Zimbabwe. It's an exciting moment for the field, for the community, and we really look forward to see what this study could bring us along.
Excellent. What do communities need to know about this trial? What's important about the trial design, for example?
A few things I want to emphasize, and I also want to highlight the fact that a lot of the trial design was made together in consultation with community advocates, community members, other stakeholders. So some of the things that we think are important about the trial design were put in place in collaboration with many people from the communities. First of all, I want to emphasize that the trial, the one of the most important things about the trial is where it's going to take place, because we are trying to reach and enroll people who still have an unmet, ongoing need for HIV prevention services. I also want to highlight the fact that the entire field, and I think that this is really important direction for us to go, is moving towards the inclusion of pregnant women, allowing pregnant women to continue on blinded study medication so that we can get data about safety and efficacy in pregnancy early on in drug development and not have a delay and try to gather data after the phase three trials are completed. I think it's really important to be able to gather that information as early as possible, because it doesn't just impact pregnant women, it impacts also all people of childbearing potential. Because if there's no data and sa if there are no data and safety or limited data and safety, providers are hesitant to use the medication also in people who may become pregnant. I think also another best practice is to try to include adolescents together with adults early in the phase three program, so that we have data about adolescents who could benefit from a product like this early in the development process. And so after an initial safety evaluation in the studies, we will open enrollment to 16 and 17 year olds. And then finally, I want to emphasize that this study is designed to try to approximate real-world usage of what it would look like for people to have a pill that they could take on a monthly basis. So we're designing it so that it approximates what would happen if somebody were prescribed, for example, 3 months of a monthly tablet, if in the future it becomes approved for use in normal prescription in clinic. So those are the things that I want to highlight right now about that.
And let's get into some of the community priorities that helped shape the design. What would you each share about that, Rebecca?
Oh, so besides the things that I listed, which I think are community priorities, I want to highlight that very early on in the development process, when we were still planning the study design and the comparator, it became clear that what was really important, and this I think was the highest priority, is that we wanted to design a trial and carry out or and carry out these studies in a way that we could get an answer that was easy to understand and that also would be achieved in a reasonable amount of time. So we wanted to do a study that would not that we could complete in a relatively short amount of time, and that means choosing the right comparator and when using that comparator that people would be able to understand what the comparison meant. So ultimately what we chose was to do a head-to-head comparison using daily oral PrEP. And the one of the reasons we think that that makes sense is because we are comparing an oral to an oral. And so for people who want injectable products, that they will be made aware that injectable PrEP has been shown to be superior to this comparator in other studies. And if they want to get injectable PrEP, if they prefer to do that, that we will help link them to such services. But this is really a study for people who are interested in taking oral PrEP.
A very interesting design as the field tries to figure out how to move forward at this moment with next generation PrEP. Very interesting. So, Grace, how have advocates been engaged, and what did the advocates learn, and what did Merck learn from one another?
I think Merck was very intentional in terms of bringing advocates and communities before even having the protocol developed. I was part of the advocates that were engaged in June 2024 as they were starting to shape all of this in terms of what would be key for the study or for the trial from a community perspective. But apart from that, there have been other processes as well in terms of protocol review, where there are some community representatives that actually did review the protocol itself. It's something that we've made a call for many years to say, when we're having trials, when we're having studies, let communities start reviewing protocols from point go. You talked about the good participatory practice. That's what it calls for. That community engagement should not just be at the time that we're implementing the trial, but rather from the beginning. And I think Merck has been very intentional in doing that. Merck does have a global community advisory group that they've been engaging for a very long time, and I believe the role of that advisory group will continue as they start to activate sites. They also have done in-country consultation. So the consultation was not just at global level. They went down to the ground, to the countries where the trials are happening, and did stakeholder consultation. And again, you'll see that I'm using two words here, community engagement, stakeholder consultation, which is something that, again, the GPP calls for, that we need to be able to mark all the key stakeholders and engage them early. And again, that's what Merck has done. Just to talk quickly, a few recommendations that came out from our engagement, and I'll speak specifically to the initial conversation because that's when the shaping was starting. And it was very key for us in terms of inclusion and representations, making sure that transgender men and non-binary individuals are included. That was a call that was made from the early consultation, and we're excited to see that that was taken on board. We talked about thinking through sub-studies around people who inject drugs, for instance. That's a conversation that is still happening, but we believe that's something that's important. And the final part that we talked about is making sure that there's a very robust stakeholder engagement plan that Merck develops as it rolls out this topic of the program. Again, that's something that we're working together with. And what we're learning is the more we work together, the more we bring in community perspectives, and the more the conduct of these efficacy programs become ethical. And I think that's one of the biggest lessons.
So thank you both for an excellent conversation. You've been listening to PX Pulse, a podcast of AVAC. And for more information on the expressive trials, the People's Research Agenda, and good participatory practice, you can find it all on avac.org. I'm Jean Barron.